time. David shuffles his feet, turns and launches this one in the direction of Mike Sims Walker. This one's going to be batted and caught. Touchdown! Oh, oh my gosh! How did that happen? It was batted back into the arms of Mike Thomas, and the Jaguars have won it! Holy cow!
How did that happen?
That's unbelievable! Mike Sims Walker batted it back! Oh! Hail Mary!
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Oh, Ryan O'Halloran's going to be sad today, Tony, when he finds out that he missed Jimmy Hart by a day. The Mouth of the South, they've got the Legends of Wrestling coming in this weekend, and we've got Jimmy Hart coming on in about maybe 15 minutes or so.
Yeah.
I don't know much about Jimmy Hart. I don't know much about pro wrestling past the early 1980s, let's put it that way. But I do know he used to manage the Funk Brothers, Dory and Terry Funk, and those are guys that I can relate to because I watched them in the olden days when it was championship wrestling from Florida and not much else. So we'll talk with him. That's a promotion coming up this weekend. We'll tell you how you can get tickets for an inside or behind-the-scenes Q&A, fan Q&A that's going to go on from 10 a.m. through 1 p.m., photo ops with the wrestlers, all that. You can go to jaguars.com/wrestling and use the promo code WRESTLING2016. Tyler said one of his best friends growing up was Terry Funk's nephew. Good to know. He probably was Dory Funk's nephew then, I'm guessing as well.
I would assume so, yes.
Yeah, because they were brothers. So Terry Funk, I believe, is a figure four leg lock guy, I believe. But I know Dory Funk Jr. was the spinning toe hold. The very painful, I'm sure, spinning toe hold. Do you ever see the spinning toe hold put into action?
Not when it was called that. Maybe I've seen it.
Maybe. It's not quite as devastating as what they do now when they come flying off, you know, I don't know, the top turnbuckle, and these guys who weigh like 320 pounds come crashing across the ring at you.
Mm-hmm.
The spinning toe hold seemed like a throwback to a simpler time, like the 1800s or something like that. So anyway, Jimmy Hart will join us, and we'll talk about the Legends of Wrestling coming in to Everbank this weekend. The legend of the Jaguars, Jimmy Smith, coming into town this weekend as well. Our Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. Ask you, it's not one that we haven't discussed before, but it's the timing is pertinent right now with Jimmy about to be inducted into the Pride this Sunday. Who is the next? Who is the one person? And people just can't decide, Tony. I'm getting everyone saying, well, this or that guy. No, you get one. If you
pick
can only
guy.
Pick one, that's what makes it the
You're
tough
voting.
Question. We could all give you a handful of candidates who will probably likely one day go in there. I could tell you right now who I think will be – I tell you who is the most deserving one, but I'll defer – because I don't want to skew the voting. We'll talk about that throughout the course of the program today. But give us your nominees for who else belongs up there. Who will be the next one? Some people think, you know what, it should be a little while. Jimmy was an obvious one. You know, his on-field play certainly had the off-field issues. We hope, and as he does, he's been very open about it, that those issues are well in the past for him. But nobody questions what he contributed on the field, at least I don't. Imagine anybody questions what he contributed on the field for this organization. Some of the glory days highlights when you kind of close your eyes and think back, Jimmy Smith streaking down the field, catching those throws from Mark Brunell, teaming up with Keenan McCardell to do the Thunder and Lightning thing. Some of the best memories Jaguar fans have. So we'll talk about Jimmy, but also talk about the next. Who is the next on the short list? Who is the single next most deserving player to go in for the Jacksonville Jaguars? What are they going to do over this last month of the season? What do you want them to do? I'm actually tempted to take a peek at some mock drafts today. I've been looking at some now that the Jags are mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, and it's interesting because I think in general people get a lot more excited in general about offensive skill guys than anything. You know, when you draft a quarterback – you're either going to be ecstatic because you love them, or you're going to question whether it's the right one, but it's going to be something that gets the fan base buzzing. If they were to draft one of the highly touted running backs like Leonard Fournette or Dalvin Cook, I think people would be excited about that because people can envision, all right, they're going to have the ball in their hands 20 times a game, and here's how they're going to contribute to this team. You're starting to see Jonathan Allen, the the Butkus Award winner, the Alabama defensive lineman who is a massive beast of a man, be mocked to the Jaguars in several scenarios out there.
Yeah.
It's not the sexiest pick, but it may be the right football decision for this football team. You know, I mean, he is such an athletic guy for an over 300 pounder, just an amazing, amazing athlete. And you think about it, Tony, you think, all right, they're pretty strong up front, right? They're pretty strong. But Roy Miller is getting a little bit longer in the tooth, went on IR this year, and you could envision Jonathan Allen settling in right next to Malik Jackson for the next, you know, however long Malik's here, for the next, say, 5 years, forming one of the better defensive tackle combos in the National Football. He could be the return, you know, the modern-day Henderson and Stroud combo on the inside.
And it's one of the big reasons that this discussion is something that we haven't had to this point yet, and why it's a difficult one even going forward, and why, honestly, I think fans kind of revolve around the skill positions when you start talking about it anyway and get excited about wide receiver, quarterback, running back, because they fit anywhere, any team, any time. It's the idea of, yeah, I think Jonathan Allen is a fantastic player, and I really don't think it would matter what kind of scheme the Jaguars were running. I think he would fit whatever they were going to do, but we don't know. You know, everyone's expecting a head coaching change, and we don't know what kind of domino effect that's going to have on the staff here.
No question.
Or what they're going to be running. I mean, they may be running a 3-4 this offseason. We do not know the answer to that, and does that change anything that they do with whatever draft capital they have? Jonathan Allen is a fantastic player. Honestly, the only guy that I think is better than him in this draft is Myles Garrett, and I'm just not sure that the Jags are going to be in a position to get Myles Garrett when everything is said.
Yeah, I don't think my guess, and I don't know how the tiebreakers would work out. I haven't bothered to look. We haven't been focused on that up until now. I don't know if you can count on San Francisco falling back far enough for the Jags to overtake him. I can't see the Jags.
Probably not.
I can't see Cleveland winning two games down the stretch when they haven't won all season long. Although RG3 does come back, I don't know if that's better or worse for them, honestly. We'll see how he performs when he's back this week. So we can talk about that a little bit. We've loosened the reins on that kind of discussion. But coming up next, we'll welcome in the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, longtime wrestling promoter and manager, and we'll talk about the Legends of Wrestling coming here. I know a lot of people are excited about that. It includes a group with Ric Flair coming in this weekend. The Nasty Boys, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and Greg the Hammer Valentine will all be here in addition to Jimmy Hart this weekend. So wrestling/football fans will be excited about that. You got Jimmy going to the Pride. So let's get fired up for something here. And for all those folks out there, you realize there are still between 200 and 300 surviving members of the military who were stationed in Pearl Harbor on this day 75 years ago. Pretty amazing that you see these guys, I mean, old now, and they all, you see them interviewed, and they all warn, don't think it can't happen again. You know, they should know they were on the front lines of history when that went down 75 years ago, 75 years, the day that will live in infamy when Japan sneak attacked the United States at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii and forced us into the throes of World War II, and probably the worst mistake that Japan ever made, and doubt they'll ever make a bigger one than that. Salute all those servicemen and women out there, whether you were a Pearl Harbor survivor, probably not too many of those in our listening audience or not, but you're all on the front lines every single day. So we remember you today on the 75th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, we're live at EverBank. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Phone lines will be open to you throughout at 641-1010. Again, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question today. After Jimmy gets inducted this weekend, who's the next most deserving member of the Jaguars to go into the Pride? The mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, going to join us next on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. I keep on dancing. Yeah, let that one wash over you, Tony. Back in the mid-60s, if you were a young man, you would have been grooving to the Gentry's Keep On Dancing. Jimmy Hart, who went on to legendary fame in wrestling circles as the mouth of the South, started as one of the mouths of the Gentry's, one of the vocalists, a top five hit back in 1966. And Jimmy Hart joins us now on Jaguars Today as the Legends of Wrestling come to EverBank this weekend. What's up, Jimmy? Good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you guys. You know, I was down in your beautiful stadium yesterday talking with everybody, doing a few PNR things, and what a great place to be. You know what? I'm right here, right down the road from you. You know, I have a brand new beach bar called Jimmy Hart's Hall of Fame Bar and Tiki Deck right here in Daytona Beach. I'm looking at the ocean, looking forward to being down there this Sunday.
Well, we're looking to seeing you, man. Obviously you went on to great things in wrestling. You ever look back and think if you had stuck with the music industry where you might have been, or, you know, you look back and say, you know what, I took my shot. It was fun while it lasted, and I made the right career decision because it worked out well for you.
Well, you know, the King, Jerry Lawler, you know, when I started in Memphis wrestling, he used to always say, you know, Jimmy Hart, sometimes it's better to be lucky than to be good. So I think I'm probably one of the luckiest guys ever, because I pinch myself every day when I look in the mirror and say, you know what, I had a musical career, one-hit wonder, right? It did sell a million finally, but, you know, I had that going, and then the wrestling business too. So it's been great for me. It's been awesome.
You mentioned the fact that we do have the event coming up this weekend here at the before the game with the Jaguars and Vikings. What exactly is going on this weekend? I know we got a bunch of wrestling fans that are listening right now.
Well, it's going to be great. And I think you can check everything out on jaguarswrestling.com for tickets and everything else. But it's going to be something special. Let me tell you who's going to be there. It's like the who's who of wrestling. You've got Greg the Hammer Valentine, WWE Hall of Famer, a guy I used to manage in New York. You've got the Nasty Boys, Knobs and Sags, future Hall of Famers, who I used to manage in New York, believe that or not. Also, Hacksaw Jim Duggan's going to be there, and the one, the only, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. So it's going to be a great time. We're going to do a Q&A, which is a question and answer. That's going to start around 10 o'clock. And then from there, we just make all the rounds. We do personal appearances all over each quarter. We're going to be there doing all the personal appearances and everything else. And also that night, we're going to be visiting a lot of the booths and just having a lot of fun with all the fans.
Jimmy Hart here with us, the Mouth of the South, longtime wrestling manager. Jimmy, I would imagine, I mean, you're a pretty recognizable guy. The wrestling fans seem to be a very passionate, loyal group. You must get recognized everywhere. Do you love it, or does it get tiresome, or do you just enjoy the fact that wrestling fans keep you near and dear in their hearts?
Well, you know what? I've been so blessed. I know a lot of people just say, oh, we like, you know, but I'm telling you, it's been great for us because we've been doing this for like over 30-something years. I've been doing this. You know, I started in Memphis wrestling with Jerry the King Lawler and Andy Kaufman, of course. And then the luckiest phone call for me was from WWE with WWF back then, Vince McMahon, and I appeared on the first WrestleMania. People always ask me, you know, what's the biggest time you've ever had in wrestling? And it had to be the first WrestleMania, because if it hadn't been successful, we probably wouldn't be on the phone today. But the fans have been so passionate, so cool, so good. And it's like Jacksonville was really a hot spot for us back in WCW days after we left WWE at one point. Hulk and I did it to do the WWC wrestling down in Atlanta, Georgia, of course, with Ted Turner. But it's just going to be great. But the fans have been so awesome through all these years. They've been very loyal.
Jimmy, you've been around it forever. And I'm not asking you the best. I'm asking you, who is your favorite guy that you've ever been around in wrestling, and who is your least favorite guy you've ever been around in wrestling?
Well, everybody's so different. Like, when you see me with the Nasty Boys weekend, they were crazy, wild, and funny. Very good. More hardcore than anything, and I love those guys. The Rougeau brothers out of Canada, funny as heck and good to be with. The Hart Foundation, of course, a lot of notoriety with myself and the Hart Foundation through the years. I was carrying the belts for so many years. Hawk and Brutus, it's just been so many single wrestlers. The Honky Tonk Man, Greg the Hammer Valentine, Terry Funk. But all of them in their own tight way really helped Jimmy Hart to get where I am today into the WWE Hall of Fame and being able to come down to do this thing with the Jaguars. If nobody had heard of me before, I wouldn't be down there this coming weekend. And that's what's going to make this so special. Where do you see all these guys? You know, a lot of the time you see the ball players and stuff, they're kind of standoffish. I don't mean the football players, but a lot of the baseball guys and stuff like that, they have their own personal time they like. But wrestling, we're kind of like 7-Eleven. We're open 24 hours a day for the fans.
That's a good point. You know, you got to promote. It's a sport that's been built on promotion. And, you know, you go back, Jimmy, my wrestling watching days were mostly in the early 80s. And I remember watching the Funk Brothers, Dory and Terry Funk, and they were a big part of it. And, you know, doing a little research on you, watching your career path, seeing how you worked with those guys, it got me thinking. I mean, it's so different nowadays how big wrestling has gotten compared to where it was like in the early 80s. Are you amazed at the trajectory that the popularity of wrestling has taken throughout your career?
Well, you think about this. WrestleMania coming up in Orlando, Florida on April the 2nd. That's WrestleMania 33. 33 years Vince McMahon has kept this baby alive. You know, a lot of wrestlers have come and gone and come back and everything else, but he's been the Rock of Gibraltar. He's been there 52 weeks a year. You know, it's not seasonal. You know, football seasonal, baseball, basketball. hockey, but this is 52 weeks a year, you know, 12 months out of the year. It's just it's just full time. And, of course, we go overseas. We do everything. I'm on the Legends contract now, which when they call me, I'll go out and do my personal appearances and stuff like that. Like I'm in St. Louis on Saturday down there with you guys, you know, for the big football game against Minnesota Vikings on Sunday, of course. And it's like that 24/7 for us and, you know, having the beach bar up here in Daytona. So I'm really excited about it. I got to go to the stadium yesterday and we got, I've never seen a stadium that had the little place where you could have go swimming if you wanted to, you know, for that special area out there. It is so cool, man. We got to meet some of the football players yesterday. And I mean, just everybody is such a fan and we're it's going to be really exciting. You know, we're going to have a great time Sunday.
How improvisational is it, and how much has that changed over the course of the 30 years you've been around the business, and not necessarily just with what happens in the ring, but especially with what you guys do on the mic? How improvisational is it?
Well, it's a lot different now. You know, all the younger talent they've got, which they've got some great kids up there now. You know, here at the bar, we watch Raw on Monday night, of course, SmackDown on Tuesday nights, and the pay-per-view is once every couple of weeks on Sunday. But they have great writers that write for them now. Back in our day, buddy, here's the mic. You've got 30 seconds or a minute. This is the town you're going to. This is who you're against, and you better make it good because if you don't, nobody's going to come to see you. And back then, we had no guaranteed contracts. You worked on a percentage of the house back then. So, buddy, trust me, if you didn't have what it takes, you'd be gone in a couple of months because every match on that card really meant something. But it's such a fine machine up there now, you know, but like I said before, they have the writers. They have just so many things. It's just built up so tremendously through the years with all the WrestleManias.
Jimmy Hart, the Mouth of the South, here with us for a couple more minutes. The Legends of Wrestling will be here at Everbank this Sunday, and we'll give you details on how you can have your own moment with a meet and greet, take some photos with these guys, and maybe hear some of their great stories from over the years. Jimmy, we've got a colleague here in Jacksonville, Ryan O'Halloran, writes for the local paper, covers the team, and he is just a huge wrestling fan. So we asked him if you could ask Jimmy Hart anything, what would it be? And he asked us to ask you, who would be the four wrestlers or the four figures that would occupy your personal wrestling Mount Rushmore? In other words, the four most influential wrestlers, promoters, managers, whatever, in your time in the business. Who would you say?
Okay, just for me now. This is only for me. And this
sure.
goes back to not only wrestling, but the people that have really influenced me. And to this day, when they come into the room, I'm kind of like, oh, yeah, what do you need? What do you need? When I started in Memphis, I had my first promoter was a guy named Jerry Jarrett. And I learned so much from him. And then, of course, Jerry the King Lawler, who got me in the wrestling business. You know, I was doing music, and we went to the same school together, Treadwell High School. He was in wrestling. I was in music. And when you know what, everybody in wrestling wants to be in music. Everybody in music wants to be in wrestling, it seems like. And we hooked up. And then the other two people that were so important to me was, of course, Vince McMahon, my second promoter, up in New York, and who I learned gave me the biggest break of my life going to New York, and Hulk Hogan. Those four, Hulk and I have still been friends for over 30-something years. We met in Memphis about 36 years ago, and we've been friends ever since and done a lot of projects together. But those four, if I had a Mount Rushmore, would be there. Now, a real one would be Stone Cold and The Rock and Ric Flair and The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels and Triple H. And I mean, the list just goes on and on, so it wouldn't
sure.
be a place big enough for that. And I'd hate to choose on that. But just speaking for Jimmy Hart, those four meant so much to me in my career. And, of course, Dick Clark. Dick Clark, on our first tour out of high school, out of Memphis, with Keep On Dancing, we were on the show with the Beach Boys, Sonny and Cher's bus tours back then doing the Cavalcade of Stars. But he told me something I never forgot, and even the wrestling business, it really helped. He said, remember, when you're on that stage, if you dress like the audience, one day you're going to wind up sitting in the audience. So to this day, when the fans see me this Sunday, Jimmy Hart, I'll have his jacket on with the hearts. I'll have the megaphone. I'll have the Jimmy Hart T-shirts. And that's what it's really all about, is giving the fans everything that they've given us through the years, we have to give back. And I'm not just saying it. When you see me, you won't see Jimmy Hart sitting at a table. I'll be standing up doing autographs. So, like I said, we've just been blessed, and I'm so excited about Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, one more time. Let's go over the details for this Sunday before the game against the Vikings. Q&A begins at 10 a.m. in the West U.S. Assure Club. For fans that are interested, they can go to jaguars.com/wrestling. And who all is going to be out there with you?
Oh, my gosh. Like I said, it's Hall of Famer Greg the Hammer Valentine, Hall of Famer me, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, one of the greatest tag teams ever in WCW and the WWE, the Nasty Boys, Knobs and Sags, and then the big special man, the man who really changed wrestling, as far as I'm concerned, along with Hulk and everybody else, Ric Flair would be there. So when you've got Ric Flair alone, it's unbelievable. But with all five of us together, six of us together, it's going to be a great evening. It's going to be a great day. And we just hope the fans come and talk to us, ask us your questions you want to ask us, and we'll tell you what you want to hear, baby, because it's all beautiful.
There he is, Jimmy Hart, the mouth of the South. By the way, Jimmy Hart's Hall of Fame bar and tiki deck right there on Ocean Avenue in Daytona Beach. How's the business going with the bar?
You know what? We're so blessed. You know, we're redoing the hotel, the Mayan Inn is where we're located in. We're putting like 2.5 into that, redoing that. And we're building a 50-seat tiki bar outdoors along with a bandstand that looks like a wrestling ring, believe that or not. And so when we do it, you know, the Huckster's coming up for that. Kevin Nash is coming in for our grand opening. And so I hope some of you guys come in, too. And like I said, I'm excited to still be doing what I love all these years, music and wrestling. So it's been a great run for me.
Can't imagine how he got the nickname of the Mouth of the South, Tony. Just can't imagine.
I love you guys.
You're so shy, Jimmy. You're so retiring, man. I tell you what, there are tons of wrestling fans here in Jacksonville, and I know people are really excited to see the entire group that's coming in. So we appreciate the time this morning. I know wrestling fans appreciate the enthusiasm, and that's been a big part of propelling you throughout your career. So thanks for taking out a few minutes, and hopefully the Jags and Vikings will give a good performance, and wrestling fans will have a great time with you guys at the meet and greet. And
I'm predicting a victory. I'm telling you right now, I think the Jags are going to take this one. I was rooting. You know, we have the NFL package here, and so I got the TVs on everything. You know, my son works for the Tampa Bay Bucks. He's one of the equipment guys, right? So I got Tampa Bay on later on. But earlier that game, I was watching you guys down there in Jacksonville against the Broncos, and I'm going, I know we can do it. I know you can do it. And it was a darn good game, man. It really was. But I'm looking forward to a victory this Sunday. I really am. For you guys.
All right, Jimmy, let's hope you're right about that. And again, thanks for the time. We look forward to seeing you here on Sunday.
Love you guys. See you this week. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. There he goes, the mouth of the South. He's wound up, Jimmy Hart, Tony. That's a pretty good group right there when it comes to wrestling. When I recognize the names on the list, they're a pretty prominent group right there. I don't go too deep into the wrestling lore these days, but I know wrestling fans will be excited about that. Jimmy Hart, Ric Flair, the Nasty Boys, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and Greg the Hammer Valentine will all be here. As Tony mentioned, Jaguars.com/wrestling. Use promo code WRESTLING2016. You can get a $35 ticket for access. It's a three-hour session, autographs, Q&A. And as these guys said, they don't just, you know, they really engage with their fans. So if you're into that, that's cool. It'll be in the West Ashore Clubs, U.S. Ashore Clubs, coming up beginning at 10 a.m. this Sunday. All right, we got to take a time out here. We will come back and we'll turn it back to Jaguar football. If you'd like to get on board, either talking about the upcoming game against the Vikings, final month of the season, where they need to go in the offseason, who is the next person worthy of induction into the Pride after Jimmy Smith. It's all on the table at 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's Jaguars Today, live at Everbank on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, coming up here, we'll get to some of that Gus Bradley audio that we didn't really have time for yesterday on Check the Tape Tuesday, as Gus and several others will be addressing the media today. Today's really the last time to look back on any final thoughts and looking ahead to the final month of the season that Gus Bradley's already put out there. Tyler said we were burying the lead. Brody Jenner is apparently doing a pregame DJ set for the game this weekend, Tony, and that's not reason enough to show up at Everbank. I don't know what is. I don't know, you know, does he speak during that? I guess he does. Hey, here's this song coming up next. Not sure. Not sure how that'll play out, but I'm sure it'll pack him in at Everbank this weekend.
Am I supposed to know who Brody Jenner is?
I think he's a member of the Jenner family. I think he's like a Kardashian hanger-on or something like that. Is that right, Tyler?
Yeah, he's the older brother of the famous Jenner sisters, Kylie and Kendall.
Yeah. Okay.
Other than that,
there you go.
I'm aware.
I've heard their names. I'm aware of who they are.
I know the last name. I knew the first name of none, basically.
Really? You've never heard of Kylie Jenner?
I mean, I've heard the name. I have no idea who that person is.
You've seen her.
I probably have.
All they're known for is taking selfies, right?
Yeah,
I mean, pretty much.
Like, I pay no attention to the Kardashian, Jenner, whatever all that stuff is.
I don't either. I've never seen, you know, I mean, flipping through channels, I might have seen like 10 seconds of one of those programs. I've never watched one of those programs, but I find it hard not to have them shoved in your face when you're standing in the checkout line at Publix.
Oh, I'm sure, you know? I have. Like, I'm sure unconsciously I've seen Kylie Jenner or whatever, but I wouldn't even know that's who I was looking at.
Are you a magazine cover reader when you're in the checkout line?
But I like the, like, Inquirer and stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
I read them all, yeah.
It's the ones that I read.
Whatever.
I'll even flip, man. I don't care.
Well, yeah, I don't usually pick them up, but I miss the Weekly World News. Does anybody still do that? That was the one. People always said the Inquirer always had, you know, aliens, space aliens invade the White House. That was always the Weekly World News. That wasn't the National Enquirer so much. National Enquirer would just make up things about Carol Burnett.
I just looked up Kylie Jenner. And even, like, when I just pull up images, it looks like five different people. Like,
it's
just
fine.
With the different makeup
pre-surgery,
or whatever she's doing.
Post-surgery.
Right. I mean, that's nuts.
A football connection for Brody Jenner. He used to date Bears quarterback. His wife, Kristen Cavallari, so a little football connection there. And he's also.
I thought you were going to tell me he used to date Cutler.
Dated Cutler.
No. I don't know. It's possible.
He dated Kristen Cavallari.
She's like a TV personality in that area, right?
She is now, I think. Wasn't she like a Real Housewives of Orange County, or what do they call it? The OC? Or
Brody and Kristen Cavallari were on the MTV hit series The Hills.
Oh, The Hills.
Oh, The Hills.
Yeah, whatever that was. Yeah. We're old. Can't expect us to know all these things, but they're here. The point is,
he's going to be here.
Somebody's going to be excited that Brody Jenner's here. I think more people will be excited about Jimmy Hart, the mouth of the South.
Yeah,
and all the and
I'm
Rick Flair
more.
And company.
Yeah,
but who knows? You know, whatever works for you. Maybe some people would actually like to see the Jaguars play football. One of two final home games this year.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jimmy Smith getting inducted into the Pride.
Jimmy week. Nothing else matters.
It is Jimmy week. For you, is it a clear cut? Like, do you have a clear cut next guy that belongs in?
Yes.
I mean, there's a handful of excellent candidates.
Yeah,
right?
But I think the next guy that belongs in that I really have no reservation about putting in is Mojo.
Okay.
And I think there's arguments you can make for a couple other guys, but Mojo's the only guy that I'm like, in my head, I'm no doubt. That guy belongs in the Pride of the Jaguars.
Because you're limiting it to players? Or because, to me, Tom Coughlin's the next
most
deserving
guy. Well, Tom's
still
so active. Like, and
well, that's the thing. Do we have to wait?
It feels
see?
Like that one's still circling around the building.
Do we have to leave a few empty lines at the bottom of his bio to see if he's perhaps not done writing his story?
No, Tom's going to be in at some point.
Right now, if you knew Tom Coughlin was never working in the National Football League again.
Yes.
He
and Mo.
To me, he's even above Maurice.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people have put forth Brad Meester. Brad's a good player. And, you know, the fact that he played the most games in team history is significant. To me, it doesn't rise to the level of being in the Pride of the Jaguars. That's to me. I mean, nothing against Meester. He's a salt of the earth kind of guy, you know. And like I said, solid player, played for a number of years, always available, reliable in that capacity. We've heard that adage before. The best ability is availability. It goes a long way in terms of earning you respect in the National Football League. I just don't, you know, when I think of Meester, I don't think of a guy the caliber of a Bocelli and a Fred Taylor and guys like that.
No, I don't either. And I think there maybe when the organization as it grows up a little bit, gets a little bit older, you can have something where you honor those type of guys too, but that doesn't mean that you have to put their name on the stadium, right? Like, I think you can find different ways to honor guys, and it's still just a 20-year-old organization, basically. And I think it because the last 10 years have been so bad, and really outside of Maurice Jones-Drew, who else would you want to add that's been around it for the last 10 years? And I know there's an argument to be made maybe for Rasheen Mathis or Daryl Smith.
I think
there's
a good argument for Rasheen.
Right. And
strong argument.
I get it, and I wouldn't be opposed to Rasheen Mathis going into Pride. I also think putting somebody's name on the stadium needs to mean more than they were just pretty good. You know, I think when you talk about Bocelli and Taylor and now Jimmy's going up on that thing, those are all three guys that – whether they all three ever will be or not, are all three guys that I can make an argument for going into the Hall of Fame.
Correct.
And I'm okay with Brunell's name being on the stadium because of what he represented for this organization, right? Like, I get that kind of guy being up there. But these other three guys are guys that they're that level of guy. And I think you almost need to kind of save it for somebody that's approaching that, or was that kind of important to the organization, or could be talked about in that kind of way. And I think there are other ways to honor the guys that are kind of on the perimeter of that.
Is Rasheen the best defensive player in franchise history?
Certainly the best defensive back. I think you could argue him against Brackens, and I think you could argue him against maybe a guy like Daryl Smith. But I think those are kind of the three guys.
I think Daryl Smith's more in the Meester category. I think he's a very good player for a long time. I think Rasheen at the top of his game was an exceptional player. Maybe not as long as you would have liked him to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In his tenure in Jacksonville. Same thing with Brackens. Brackens was an outstanding player, but he burned brightly.
Oh, it was short, yeah.
And it burned out quickly, right? I mean, the difference, a guy like Boselli, he didn't play that many years, but, you know, it was Pro Bowl every year, five out of six seasons. You knew he was the best of the best, if not the best, one of the two or three best at his position every year he was in the National Football League. So that's a no-brainer. I think for me, if it's a defensive player, Rasheen's got to go up there first. And there's a large group of guys like that. You talk about Daryl Smith, you talk about Donovan Darius, you talk about Henderson and Stroud, right, that were really, really good players, multiple-time Pro Bowlers, several of them. And, you know, you got to determine what you want it to be, right? We talked with the guys, the Green Bay Packer guys, Tony, that you don't go up into the Packer Hall of Fame. What was it that Dave Robinson told us? Unless you're in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, they have, and the Packers are kind of what I'm talking about. The Packers have they have a way to honor their former players where you're in the Packers Hall of Fame, but your name gets put on the stadium when you go into the professional
right,
Hall of Fame.
Right.
You know, and so that's what Robinson was talking about was, you know, I've been in the Packers Hall of Fame for 20 years, 25 years, and I've been waiting on this call to put on this jacket so I could show back up at Lambeau and they're going to put my name on the stadium.
Yeah.
You know, and that's
big deal for him.
And that's a huge deal for anybody who has their name on that stadium, right? And I think, look, the Jaguars organization doesn't have the history of the Green Bay Packers, so it's hard to make it that. But I think you need to keep in mind that kind of thing when you start talking about who we're going to put into the pride. Doesn't mean that they have to be Hall of Famers. It means you're truly choosing to honor somebody and they stand out that much that they need to be remembered that way. And I think there are other ways to do it the way the Packers do with the Hall of Fame. I mean, if you look up the Packers Hall of Fame, it's hundreds of guys, you know, that they put into the Packers Hall of Fame, hundreds of players that they have on that list. It's very limited, the criteria for how you get put in the state.
Yeah, maybe when the Jags have had enough history, they'll have that kind of separate distinction. They could have their own little shrine, you know, Hall of Fame inside the stadium. But going up on there is, I think you're right, should be reserved for a cut above caliber kind of player. By the way, I got to correct myself, and thanks to Randy who tweeted at me on this. I mentioned Jonathan Allen. I said Butkus Award. I meant to say Nagurski Award. Nagurski Award is given to the best defender in college football. The Butkus Award, I believe, is a linebacker award, which was won by his teammate Reuben Foster. So thank you, Randy, for pointing that out. You know, talking about Allen as a guy who's a potential on-the-radar guy for the Jacksonville Jaguars, if, you know, they're drafting as high as we think they're going to be, you know, the Nagurski Award probably even more prestigious because that's given to the best of the best out there. He's considered the best guy, the best defensive player in college football by the voters of the Nagurski Award. He plays for the best defense in college football, plays for the best team. You can then argue he's the best player on the best team in college football, and yet it's Jabril Peppers and not Allen who gets the visit, because who's going to give any love to a defensive tackle, right?
Oh, for that kind of thing?
Can't put up those kind of stats that are going to get you invited to New York too often. I guess Ndamukong Suh was able to do it, but it's pretty difficult playing that position. All right, we'll come back to State and Football and the Honda Drive around the NFL. If you want to get in, 641-1010, both on the phone lines and the text line, driven by Duval Ford. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. We go back on this date to 1980. The San Francisco 49ers erased a 35-7 halftime deficit at the time, recording the biggest comeback in NFL history as they beat the New Orleans Saints 38-35 in overtime on Ray Wershing's 36-yard field goal. Of course, since then, that's been eclipsed by the game known as simply the comeback, the Buffalo Bills knocking off the Houston Oilers in the playoffs at the end of the 92 season in January of 1993. They trailed by 32 points, and they won that game in overtime, 41-38. Famous birthdays for this date. A couple of Jaguars were born on this date in 1968. Keith Gauguinus started 15 games at linebacker for the Jags in their inaugural season in 1995. And current Jaguars strength and conditioning coordinator Tom Mislinski, they call him Milo around these parts, started 9 games at guard for the Jaguars in 1995. Both born in the state in 1968. Born in the state in 1972. Longtime Florida State Seminole Dallas Cowboy offensive lineman Clay Shiver turns 44 years old today. Terrell Owens, who should already be in the Hall of Fame, in my estimation, the wide receiver, you know him well from all over the National Football League, primarily with the 49ers and the Eagles. 6-time Pro Bowler, 5-time first-team All-Pro, a member of the All-2000s team, the first team, and a Hall of Fame semifinalist once again. Likewise, a Hall of Fame semifinalist, Alan Faneca, 9 Pro Bowls, 6-time first-team All-Pro, a member of the All-First-Team 2000 squad as a guard, and he turns 40 years old today, having been born in 1976. Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry presents this date in football history. They're located conveniently on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done, if you're in the market for a family dentist, for all your dental needs, call 620-9225. Check out the SomnoMed Custom Fit Mouth Guard to help you stop snoring as well. You are a loved one. They're going to thank you for that one. In the meantime, visit jamesjmccall.com. Get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That was this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
New York Giants defensive end Jason Pierre-Paul had surgery yesterday to repair a sports hernia. He's expected to miss the remainder of the 2016 regular season. The Giants trail the Dallas Cowboys by 3 games in the NFC East. Dallas can clinch the division with a win over the Giants this Sunday night, but New York does currently hold the lead for the wild card race in the NFC with an 8-4 record. The Indianapolis Colts, who were already struggling on defense, lost one of their best players on that side of the ball for the final 4 games of the season yesterday. Linebacker DeQuell Jackson has been suspended for the final 4 games due to a violation of the performance-enhancing drugs policy. The Colts are currently in a 3-way tie atop the South with both Houston and Tennessee at 6-6 after their Monday Night Football win over the New York Jets. Rashawn Salaam, who won the Heisman Trophy in 1994 with Colorado, was found dead in a parking lot at a park about 2 miles from Folsom Field, where he played running back for the University of Colorado. Police say that there was no sign of foul play and that suicide is suspected as the cause of death after a note was found on the scene. Salaam was just 42 years old. He was picked 2 spots behind James Stewart in that 95 draft, the first draft for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Of course, Tony Boselli, the first draft pick by the Jaguars, number 2 overall. That draft also contained the probably my favorite piece of draft trivia from the past 20 years or so of NFL drafts. Kerry Collins, taken number 5 overall by Carolina out of Penn State, is still the last Big Ten quarterback selected in the first round of the NFL draft.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Wow.
It's been over 20 years. They haven't had another guy in the first round.
Drew Brees probably should have been.
Yeah, he was technically 32, but it was the top of the second round.
Right, first pick of the second round is what he was. How about that, man? Big Ten.
Christian Hackenberg was robbed last year. Should have been a first rounder.
I think they missed on Tom Brady, too, there, Tyler.
Yeah.
Yes, Christian Hackenberg is going to be a really, really good player, I'm sure, when it's all said and done. Let's hear a little bit from Gus Bradley, a couple of more general statements, not really focusing in here on the Denver game per se. Ty, we're going to start with Gus Cut 7 here as he spoke on Monday. He's going to talk again later on this afternoon, speak with the media. We'll hear a bunch of that stuff coming up tomorrow. I assume Todd Wash probably today as well. At some point you'll hear from Blake as well. So that'll trickle in throughout the course of the afternoon with 1 month to go. But Gus was asked about Allen Robinson and the frustration that he's had with the way he's been covered this season. You're starting to see that come to a head.
Whenever a player has success in the league, spoken from as a defensive coordinator type mindset, and then you try to take away what they do well. So you knew, and that's what our conversations were in the off season was when you do well, now teams are, you might see rolled coverage, you might see him cloud, they might see a safety over the top. They're going to take it to another level now that if you had a good year because they feel like they need to take you out of your game. And you need to be able to adjust to that. And he has, but at times it's frustrating. But that's part of it, that he's going to go through some of that when you're targeted like that. And then you just got to win in other ways.
Tony's got to go through a lot more of that if, again, referees allow him to be covered the way he's been covered this year, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's got to come up with new ways to get off the line of scrimmage, to beat this physical press coverage, to, you know, raise his own level of physicality to match or what. I know he's trying to play within the framework of not getting penalties called on himself, and it's got to be incredibly frustrating. And then on top of that, you know, Blake hasn't been accurate. There are plenty of instances where he's off target, and that's all it takes is a little bit. But Allen Robinson, for his own part, he's got to fight through that because there have been some opportunities for him to catch the football and bail his quarterback out, and he hasn't come up with them, such as the first interception that Chris Harris was able to pick up because A-Rob let it get into his body, and he juggled it. So he's got to be better as well.
If I was going to make a list of the guys that I think are most showing the frustration of what's happening within this season, the guys that are on this team, I think A-Rob's probably the top of that list for me. It's probably the guy that is showing the most frustration. And it's not been directed at his quarterback. It's been directed in all kinds of areas. It showed up on Sunday that he's yelling at an official because of what's happening to him in the middle of the game. And maybe part of that is because he doesn't know where the ball is going to be anytime it's getting thrown to him. And that time it was thrown okay, and he had no chance to make the play because he was getting interfered with. And so it boils over a little bit. It's obviously he's lashed out at the fans a couple different times this year as well. I think he probably tops the list for me of guys that are frustrated. And I think we've talked about, you know, 1,400 yards, 14 touchdowns last year. To not get more respect from an official than he has this year has got to be confounding for him. But I'll say on the other side of it, you know, the top guys in this league, if you wanted to enter into a game and try to play, you know, the top receivers in this league that kind of physical, they just give it back to you. You know, Julio and AJ and Dez and Fitz, those guys would just give it back to you. Okay, you want to play in a phone booth with me, I'm going to beat you up
right
for this entire game. And I think Allen needs to learn that lesson too, that if they're going to play that with you, and especially if the officials aren't going to call it, then you got to give it back. Like, that's how you continue to prosper in this league, if they're going to allow guys to do that to you. And that's what the officials have made pretty clear with the way they've called it this year. They're going to allow guys to do that. Whether they should or shouldn't, they are allowing it.
You know, usually when you get a trend of things being called a certain way, you know, you send them to the league office, and if they're being called incorrectly, eventually that kind of catches up, and they start looking for that kind of thing. And it's probably, I'm assuming, because the Jags' record is what it is, they don't have the same cachet as, say, you know, whether it's the Colts years ago, right, complaining about New England defensive backs doing the same thing to their wide receivers. And because they're so high profile, they kind of got that adjusted the way they were called, and the refs were on the lookout for that. It's never seemed like it's reached a point where the referees set the tone early in a game, like, hey, we're not going to let you get away with blatant, obvious stuff. I mean, even the obvious stuff, you're going to get played physically when you're the size of Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
But it's the obvious pulls on the jersey, the grabs of the arm, the things like that that are happening right in front of the referee's eyes that make you wonder what they're even looking at.
Yeah, I mean, some things are still penalties. Even if you're going to let guys play physical, that doesn't mean Stephon Gilmore gets to grab him with two hands and pull him backwards on a 3rd-and-7. That's just not the way the league works. So for that kind of stuff to still be happening is disappointing. But I do think part of it's on A-Rob, where you have to be more physical. If they're going to allow guys to be more physical with you, then you have to be more physical with them too.
All right, we'll get back to some more Gus Bradley coming up. Let's get a call or two in here. Theo in Arlington next up here at 641-1010. Good morning, Theo.
Good morning, sir. It's an honor to watch Jimmy Smith getting into the Hall of Fame. I remember when I was 9 and I went to the Sprint store in Bay Meadows. I met him and Keenan, and they signed a poster for me, and that was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I take it you're going to be here on Sunday then.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to the game. I just hope they can get a win for Jimmy and not be an embarrassment. and not embarrass him on his day, you know?
Well, I hear you. Look, I heard the guys talk about this morning on the drill, Tony, and as Jeff Prosser put it, whoever they're trying to win for right now hasn't been working, so why not try to the old rallying cry of win one for Jimmy? It's not their it shouldn't be the player's thought process, I don't think, to go out there. Let's not have Jimmy be embarrassed on his day. Let's not have ourselves be embarrassed with yet another loss. Let's go out there. And it's not that the effort has been embarrassing. There have been a few embarrassing results. It's the overall losing streak and the overall record, but the week in, week out intensity of play and effort and all those things, I think it's been there for the most part.
Yeah.
Which has been pretty good. And again, this is not a reason to keep a coaching staff intact, because the bottom line is at 14-46, you're just not getting the job done. But it has been, for the most part, all throughout Gus Bradley's tenure here, been pretty consistent that guys play hard late into the season. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
And it's something that should be a given, and I don't like to give out a congratulatory pat on the back for something you should be doing anyway, but we know human nature is what it is, that when you're in a situation that is bad overall, think about your own job. If you don't like your job, if things are going, always give full effort. Gus has not seemed to lose the locker room wholesale at any point in his 4 years.
No, and I think to me it speaks fine of Gus, but I also think I think it speaks very highly of the guys that they brought into this locker room.
You know, absolutely.
That even going through something like this, that effort isn't something that we've ever questioned with this football team. Now, execution, are they being put in the best positions to succeed with the kind of effort that they're willing to put forth despite what's going on in this season? I think those are all good questions, and it's why there's going to be change. It feels like it's inevitable in Jacksonville at this point, but I do think, you know, the character of these guys does show up week in, week out, that they're not willing to call it quits within a game even at this point in the season. I think that speaks very well of these guys.
All right, we will come back in a moment and get further into a few of Gus Bradley's comments. If you want to weigh in at 641-1010, you're welcome to on the phone line and the text line, driven by Duval Ford. Today's social media question of the day, presented by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, is, after Jimmy Smith, who is the most deserving inductee that's not yet in the pride of the Jaguars? And we'll get to those a little bit later on this hour as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars Today, live at EverBank on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is the quarterback here, Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
All right, Wednesday's brought to you by Metro Rooter here on Jaguars Today. For any size plumbing job, residential, commercial, industrial plumbing, septic systems, you name it. If you think it has to do with plumbing, Metro Rooter likely has a solution for you. Restaurant grease trap service, you name it. Metro Rooter can handle the job. Same day service, weekends included. You call them up, they've got the solution, and that involves the right people with the right equipment. It's why they've been so successful serving Jacksonville and the surrounding areas since 1978. They're the folks I call to come to my house when I've got a plumbing issue. I trust them. They take great care of me. MetroRooter.com is the website, and 695-1911 is the phone number. 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars Today here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on this Wednesday, as we march towards Jimmy Smith induction day, and the Jags taking on the Minnesota Vikings here in week 14 of the NFL season. By the way, you know what? I'll get to that in a moment, because I've got a big by the way coming up.
Okay.
I'll get to it. But let's go to Charles in Oakleaf. He's been hanging on the line the longest at 641-1010. Hello, Charles. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks, Mike. Upcoming players coming up for free agency on the Jaguars. Usually you start hanging around this time, players already talking about, yes, they are going to go ahead and sign, or they already have. Some teams already have. A player in particular I'm looking at, like Prince McMore, who's definitely lived up to a one-year bill. Thoughts of maybe like re-signing him to something a little bit longer, or other players. I know Joe was probably not going to be back. I know you're going to have Bortles coming up with his coming up with that. Why is it we're not hearing a lot of this? Is this because of the front office? We know there's going to be turnovers, so you're going to wait to see what the new coach wants to do? Or is this something from the GM saying, no, we're not going to do anything because of the new coach? Or is this from the owner?
Okay, good questions there, Charles. I think, you know, each case is a little bit individual here. In the case of Blake Bortles, He he's got a team option for a fifth year that comes standard when you're a first-round pick now. You get a four-year contract with a fifth-year team option. And frankly, Tony, at the kind of money that that option would entail, I wouldn't pick that option up if I'm the Jaguars. He hasn't proven that he's assured of being your starter next year, in my mind, never mind in 2018. That's me. So it wouldn't surprise – and that's something that there's no – time crunch on. If you sit down at the end of the season and evaluate and say, you know what, we'd like to have Blake back under this thing, you pick up the option and it's done. Amukh Amara is a guy that was brought up to us and we discussed a little bit earlier this week, might have been yesterday, in regards to a question about Kelvin Beachum and Prince, particularly with those guys. Kelvin Beachum, similar to Blake, is under a team option. The way they negotiated, I thought it was one of the most creative contracts I've seen in the NFL and a good one for both sides. If they like what he's done, which I think they will, decide that they like what he's done, he's got a four-year, $40 million option out there. And if you've got a competent left tackle in the National Football League, I think Kelvin Beachum's been pretty good, and I expect him to be better another year further removed from injury. Keep in mind, he got hurt during the season last year. So
yeah,
it's just been just a little over a calendar year, honestly, since he got hurt and tore the ACL. So he is far from the point where I think he's going to be back to 100% full strength. So it's likely that's a formality. They'll pick up his four-year option is my best guess on that. I understand what you're talking about with Jokel. He probably is gone, because if I'm Luke Jokel, I leave Jacksonville and I don't let the door hit me. I'm out of here. You know what I mean? Like, Luke, Luke needs a fresh start.
No, Luke needs to go somewhere else. From what I can tell with the Beachum contract, they have until February, basically middle of February, to pick up that option. I'd be shocked if they didn't.
Right, and that gives him the luxury to hit the free agent market when it opens up if they opt to not. It's a well-structured deal.
And look, I wouldn't be surprised if the organization wants to bring back Prince Amukh Amara. They do have until free agency begins to get that kind of thing done.
Exclusive negotiating.
Yeah,
window.
And it's not like if you look at free agency around the league, outside of guys that are kind of those top tier, you know, there's no way this guy's getting away from us anyway, guys. They're no-brainer guys to bring back. Oftentimes, guys like Prince, they get done after the season anyway.
Right.
So
right.
It not being done yet, I don't think is all that big a deal. I do wonder, you know, if how much of that conversation has even happened at this point, because who knows what the future of the front office of this team is right now. And they may know inside the building. Shad may have already told Dave that he's fine.
Right.
We don't know.
We don't know that.
We just don't know the answer to that. So maybe there is some kind of delay happening because of whatever turnover is expected to happen in Jacksonville, but we don't know the answer for that.
You know, I could see Prince being, getting a 2 or 3 year deal to stay here.
Yeah.
He may get, you know what? Tony, he may say, I want to hit free agency. You don't know. You know, if he feels like the tape he's put out there is going to garner him a long-term deal, and he wants to throw himself out there in, you know, true free agency and see what the market will bear, he may want to say, you know what, let me wait and see. I'll keep you guys in mind, but I want to see what my true worth is out there. And that may work out. Sometimes you take the offer that's on the table because – bird in hand, that kind of situation. But
absolutely,
he is definitely a guy I could see coming back here. Has he blown some coverages? Sure. Tell me an NFL corner that doesn't blow some coverages, including the best guys. Richard Sherman gets beat from time to time. I think Prince has been a solid cornerback for this football team.
And I do too.
He comes back opposite Ramsey, I'm going to feel pretty good about the starting corners on this team.
Yeah, and I think, look, it goes to a conversation that we're going to have for months once the season ends, but the kind of domino effect that losing Prince Amukh Amara could potentially have on the secondary for this football team, they're in a very good spot when Prince, Colvin, and Jalen are healthy, with the three corners that they can throw on the field with as much nickel as they play and have to play in this league now. So losing Prince, well, that's one of those pieces that's out. Devon House is already complaining about what playing time he's getting, which is none at this point in time. I don't know what the deal is going to be with him going into this offseason, if he's going to be here next year at all. Jalen and Colvin are going to be here, but then you have this big gaping hole at the cornerback spot for this defense. And it goes into, I was looking at some of the stats, and I know Loggeman addressed this briefly yesterday, but I was looking at some of the stats, and as improved as we all feel like the defense is this season, they have improved by 1.9 points per game. That's how much they've improved in really the stat that ultimately matters the most, which is how many points you're giving up. They've gone from 28 to 26.1. And so I was trying to look at, okay, they're obviously very good in yardage allowed. Is that simply because of the field position that the offense has given up, the pick sixes, that kind of thing? And I know a lot of people are saying that out there right now. I looked at last season, they had 6 pick sixes or fumbles or punt returns for touchdowns allowed. They've had 4 this year. Now, they got 4 to play, so maybe that number will even itself out. There was Football Outsiders, I think, keeps track of average field position for opponents. And the difference between last season and this season was basically 2 yards in field position. So I don't know, and I tweeted this out earlier this week, it is dangerous to assume that if they fix the quarterback position or if Blake Bortles becomes the guy that you saw 2 years ago, that this thing is done. That this thing is fixed. I think the idea that they don't get enough pressure on the quarterback, they don't even get their hands on footballs. It's not that they don't force turnovers. They don't touch it like other NFL teams do. We had O'Halloran in here last week. Now they have 23 pass breakups on the year. The next lowest team in the league is 39.
That's crazy.
Right. I mean, they don't touch the football on defense. And I think those are concerning stats for this team going into an offseason where, look, I agree. I think the defense is better, much better than it was last year, but I don't know how much better. And I don't know if part of that is being hidden by the fact that Blake has been so bad that we can't tell. You know, and I think there are probably some issues that we don't even know are issues because of how bad it's been offensively this year, where it's impossible to tell what else is going on with this football team.
You look at the contracts for the two in terms of Prince Mukamara and Devon House. Devon House is under contract for 2 more years at $6 million per. Can't see that happening.
I can't either.
I don't think Devon House is back under the present contract. I think it's likely they release Devon House. That's my pure speculation. When you look at Prince is basically on a 1 year, about $5.5 million deal this year. When Devon House came in, Tony had a 4-year deal that basically paid him about $6 million a year. If you release Devon House in the offseason, there's no dead money. There's no cap hit that further impacts you in any way whatsoever. Mm-hmm. You're out from under that contract. If you could transfer that money to Prince or Mukamara, I think that makes a lot of logical sense. And then you find, you know, whether it's Josh Johnson, who's already on your roster, or another young guy, or maybe even another veteran on kind of a 1-year deal to come in and supplement that depth chart. I could see something like that happening. But that's what I'd like to see, is transfer the commitment to Devon House to Prince or Mukamara over the next couple of years. And I'm sure the Jags would like to see that as well. But back to the original point that Tony made when Charles called in, I don't think the lack of activity is any indication of their desire or lack of desire necessarily on any of these individual players. There's plenty of time to get this done. So, Charles, thank you for the call. I'll tell you what, we'll take a timeout right here. We'll come back. We'll take a look at the weekly injury report. Dr. Stephen Lucy from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute will join us here in studio, and we'll also take a look at the fan feedback spotlight today, asking you, after Jimmy Smith goes into the Pride of the Jaguars, who is the next most deserving member of this organization to get inducted at some point in the future? Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yesterday, Malik Jackson had a chance to join the guys of Midday Chalk thanks to Farron Farah, and he got to talk about how he views this defense moving forward.
I think we're playing really good ball, but, you know, the Pro Bowlers and the really good ones get nitpicky, and I know there were a few plays where I did good, but I could have done better, and I think that's how we just kind of grow from being just a good defense to a great defense, and you know, you watch the film, you see what we did, and then you understand that we did a good job as a defense, and we gave our team a chance to win, and that puts a smile on your face, and you just get ready for next week.
This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
Jaguars Today, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
See the text line?
Good. Yeah. I responded to him.
Why don't you stick to soccer there, Tony?
I told him, thanks for the laugh.
That amuses me. Usually I get that treatment.
Yeah, it was funny.
Tony's a smart fella here. We're in the JOI studios, Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios, and every Wednesday we welcome in from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, Dr. Stephen Lucy. They are the official sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Good morning, Dr. Lucy. How are you?
Good morning. Good.
Everything good with you? Not so much so with this banged-up football team, as we've kind of chronicled over the last couple weeks. Injuries finally starting to catch up with what had been a mostly healthy team all year long.
Yeah, I think that's probably a league-wide thing. When we get this time of year and into the playoffs, it seems like the healthiest teams are the ones that are winning.
Oh, last week, Jags really got crushed at the offensive skill positions. Julius Thomas unable to go, Chris Ivory and Alan Hearns unable to go. What can you tell us about some of these guys' availability heading into Week 14?
Well, I think Chris Ivory and Julius Thomas are going to try to give it a go in practice this week. We'll just see how they do. I think Alan Hearns might be another week away or so, but those determinations haven't officially been made yet, and it's going to be a day-by-day throughout the week.
Still very iffy, then, to have any of them potentially back this week.
Yeah, I think that word questionable is a pretty apt term for
gotcha.
These guys.
And with that, then, more onus put on T.J. Yeldon's availability, because now we find out Denard Robinson has a high ankle sprain, and so sounds like he won't be able to go for the Jacksonville Jaguars this week. So where is Yeldon at in terms of his health?
You know, I think he's been toughing it out. And, you know, he really has been playing with this for the past couple of weeks, slightly improving. But it's so hard for these things to get well when you're out beating on it every day and in practice. But now we're down to the last man standing. So I'm sure he's going to give it another go. I think each week he improves and is getting better. You know, that we've talked about these high ankle sprains in the past, though, and that's concerning for Denard in a running back, because those rarely bounce back quicker than 3 weeks. So we'll just have to see how severe his is.
We saw Brandon Linder lose some snaps because he's in and out of the game very early on, came back in with an ankle. As far as you can tell, is that going to impact his availability this week?
Yeah, I'd be, again, the old term questionable, because sometimes these ankle sprains, you get them on the sidelines, you evaluate them, it doesn't seem too bad, they haven't really swollen, you tape them back up real tight, and they can finish the game, but then by Monday morning, it may be more swollen and more tender. So he's going to be a concern, I'm sure, all week. And, he's one that may not be able to play. We'll just have to see how he comes through. They're variable. Again, even the mild ones coming, bouncing back in a week is tough.
Jared Odrick has missed some time with that shoulder injury. Any closer to returning for him?
You know, I think he's still struggling a little with his shoulder, and I'm not sure whether he's going to be available yet or not. I know from what I understand he really wants to play, but, you know, the strength and the push-off and everything at that position, you got to have most of that upper body strength. You're not going to be very effective.
All right, so it sounds like another week of maybe holding your breath as a Jaguar fan to see exactly who's going to be out there, Doc. And I guess those 90 minutes leading up until kickoff, when the official inactives will be announced, will be a closely watched a few minutes there to see if we're going to have Chris Ivory and some of his teammates back on the offensive side. Like you said, it's just it's a war of attrition sometimes in the National Football League.
Sometimes it is. It does sound like we're going to have some real football weather for a change.
You're happy about that.
Well, I think it's going to be nice this
little
Sunday.
Spring in your step. Yep. I don't know if studies have been done on this. Are there more? I mean, obviously, later in the season, you get kind of an accumulation of bumps and bruises. It would seem like there are more injuries that take place later in the year. But does the weather have any impact whatsoever? You know, the conditions, whether it's, you know, really hot, maybe you have some guys falling out because of, you know, dehydration. I don't know. Or, you know, it just seems like, you know, the cold, like you said, cool, not frigid temperatures are more football weather, and is there any correlation between that you've seen?
You know, the thing I have noticed is something we alluded to with Brandon Lender. You get one of these ankle injuries, particularly when you got the temperatures down in the 30s, like they get up north. And those really, you can tape them up. It's like having them ice the rest of the game.
Right.
So they can bounce back for those. But, you know, obviously you're going to have a few more injuries in the snow and the wet and sliding. But I don't think there's a whole lot of difference just on temperature alone.
All right. Well, I was reaching there. But what are you going to do? Dr. Stephen Lucy, one of the many qualified physicians at Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Doc, try to tape them up, keep them as healthy as we can this week. We appreciate the time.
Yeah, we might sneak another one in this weekend. I think we got a shot. So
all right.
Let's cross our fingers.
We got four more shots. Let's see if they take advantage of them. Thank you, Dr. Stephen Lucy with JOI. Checking out now after your weekly look at the Jaguar injury report. All right, Tony, fan feedback spotlight today. We asked them, and certainly I've come to expect some of the answers that we get.
Yeah.
But we asked them who is the next most deserving player to get into the Pride. I know Todd Bauman got a vote. Matt Jones got a vote. Jackson DeVille got several votes. I'm not sure that those are being sarcastic, by the way, but what did we get on Twitter for
yeah,
the
most
Morton
part? Anderson got a vote as well.
Yes, he did. There's another one. Right.
But I only included any answers that were just one name, by the way. From Duval Doom, I honestly think we should wait a bit, but if I had to pick one, it would be Rasheen. From Jarrell, Rasheen Mathis as the first defensive player. From Clay, double D for him, but I always look at the numbers out of circulation, 8, 28, 71, 82. And there hasn't been a 32 since Mojo. That could be an indicator there. And from Alvaro, this guy, Jones Drew, 32.
All right. By the way, as I look at the Jaguars Today Facebook page, a reminder before I get to a few of the replies there, we still have the Bat Santa Toys for Shots announcement pinned to the top of the page.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that. Even though the official collection of toys took place at the Slab this past week, and they got, I think, somewhere over 70, 80 toys, something like that. That's going to make a lot of kids' families, very happy. And they also collected some cash to help these kids have a merrier Christmas. You can still make donations to Bold City Batman and Joe Bain. And we've got their contact info pinned up on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. So if you stop by, they're still collecting up until Friday of this week. And if you get in touch, they'll find a way to get with you and pick up that toy, either a new or a gently used toy for just about any age kid that you can think of. If you've got that within your wherewithal to help somebody out this Christmas season, that's up there for you as well. Some of the nominees that we got on the Facebook page today, a few more players come to mind from the past. Brad Meester may not have played on some great teams, but he has a franchise marking game started here. That means something. Tony Brackens, all-time sack leader, played on some great teams here. Keenan McCardell wouldn't feel right having Jay Smooth up there without his boy Keenan. Hashtag Jaguars today. That coming in from Joshua. Arlexi said, no doubt Donovan Darius will be the first defensive player in the Pride of the Jaguars. Most consistent defensive player we ever had. Hashtag Jaguars today. Thank you, Arlexi. Kevin said, that's a tough one. Other than MJD, no one really stands out to him. Daniel said, I think a defensive guy like Darius Mathis or Henderson would be valid. Another vote for Donovan Darius from Brian Armstrong. JD said, why not just honor the 99 team? Best record in team history, 14-2. I think if they had won the Super Bowl, you would see that up there. You know, there'd
sure
be special, other than a banner that would be hung, which you would see for sure. I think there might be some kind of collective recognition in that regard. They still stand as the best regular season squad in franchise history. And he also, JD, mentioned the original Jackson DeVille. Mojo's a lock, says Justin, carried us through the dark days. Corey said Tony Brackens, best D lineman we've ever had. Probably not going to argue with that. Certainly best the end we've ever had. Another vote for Donovan Darius. Some love for Daryl Smith there. MJD, then I would stop for a long time, says Chad. Daryl Smith. And then Eric said, right now, no one. And that's one thing we've talked about it a lot. You don't want to get too crazy and shove a bunch of guys in there just to do it and then get to the point where, you know, somewhere down the road in franchise history, you're truly looking at inducting those 5 or 6-time Pro Bowlers. And
yeah,
you want that level to be pretty consistent of the type of players that you're talking about.
Yeah, and that's all it is, really, to me. And I think Jimmy clearly fits that kind of criteria where he was that kind of a consistent producer. And, look, unfortunately, they just haven't had that here in recent years. There just hasn't been much of that. I think Mojo's the only offensive guy you can make that kind of argument for. And outside of that, there's really nobody else offensively that belongs in the Pride. And hopefully, look, the darkness clears sometime the next handful of years, and guys like A-Rob and some of these other players can continue to push towards maybe in 15 years we are talking about them that way. But my goodness, I mean, it's just I'm glad we have this Sunday to look back on Jimmy. And I know the Jaguars on the website put up a page where you can go through a timeline of Jimmy's time here in Jacksonville, and it's incredible to just push through it. And it's kind of like when Fred Taylor was going into the Pride, and I was going back to watch highlights and try to pull some sound from it. And it's just, you watch him and you're like, wow, you know, that guy was in a uniform in this city. He was special. You know, you watch these guys and they were special. And unfortunately, there hasn't been a whole lot of special in the past 10 years.
Now, Jimmy Smith was one of those, though. And we'll look forward to seeing him this weekend and just a host of his teammates. And by the way, forget this next couple, several years. The darkness needs to lift. In 2017,
I would like
Tony.
It to lift Sunday.
Yeah, right, understood, but you know what? I'm not gonna. I'd rather have it lift September of 2017.
Let's hope.
Right, than win three out of four down the stretch necessarily. That'd be great as well. But given the alternative, let's win three out of four in September
that old
next year.
Fake off season momentum.
Yes. Let's win the offseason for the umpteenth consecutive year. It should not be the rallying cry for these Jacksonville Jaguars. Hey, thanks to the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, a longtime wrestling promoter, for joining us on the program today. As you've got the legends of wrestling coming in this weekend to Everbank, Ric Flair, Jimmy Hart, the Nasty Boys, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Greg the Hammer Valentine. They'll all be on hand this Sunday prior to the game for a meet-and-greet Q&A session with the wrestling and Jaguar fans. It begins at 10 a.m. in the West U.S. Assure Club. You can get your tickets by going to jaguars.com/wrestling and use the promo code WRESTLING2016. You get a $35 general ticket for access to the Q&A. Get some photos, taking some autographs, and hear some great stories if you are a wrestling fan. Kind of a cool thing to double dip with, in addition to Jimmy Smith going up into the Pride. In addition to, oh, by the way, you've only got four games left and two home games left in the season. Speaking of one of those home games, Ms. Nika, who's one of our favorite tweeters out there, she's sassy. Miss Nika says she is looking for a good home for her ticket for the Tennessee game. She's going to be unable to attend. I asked her permission if I could give out her Twitter, and she said, sure. So I've already tweeted this, so it may be spoken for, but at Nika989, N-I-K-A-989, and she's looking to give away her ticket to the Christmas Eve game against the Titans. So if you can give it a good home, you may want to reach out to her on Twitter. All right, that does it for us today. Thanks again to Jimmy Hart. Tomorrow, Ryan O'Halloran will be in. You'll be off tomorrow, right? You got Bulls football championship.
Yeah, we're taking off early in the afternoon, so yeah, I won't be in tomorrow morning.
Chase that ring.
That's the plan.
You're the favorites or what?
No.
No?
Against Coco. Coco's actually favored over this Bulls team.
Coco Samoa?
No. Oh. Coco Beach.
Legends of wrestling.
But 4A state championship game to tomorrow night. Coverage will start at 6:50. On 10 a.m.
They're led by Majors Nelson and Healy, I hear, coming in here. Sorry, so we'll look for that.
Undefeated, the good. Bulls Bulldogs are.
That's right.
Yeah.
Tony, get that ring, baby. Good luck, and we'll see you on Friday, okay? Ryan O'Halloran will be in with me tomorrow, I'm sure, bemoaning the fact that he missed out speaking to Jimmy Hart. That'll be the saddest part of Ryan's week, no question about it. For Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. Have a great day, everybody. Midday Chalk coming up next here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.